It's episode number 26 of Raw Health Radio, everyone. Thank you for joining me this week. We're going off the beaten track again. I haven't really got too many questions or show notes written down for this one. I'm kind of just, we're going to be winging it along with our guest, but her name's Gina Cloud. She's probably the only gynecologist in the world. I love that little saying. She is the creator of gynecology. She's a teacher. She's a speaker. She's the author of WOMAN, A New Definition. And she's going to be here today talking to us all about being your own doctor. So, Gina, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks, David. I'm good. What time is it there in Australia, by the way?
It is 22 past midday.
Okay. So, okay, this is good timing. It's after 7 here in Los Angeles.
Well, we're both doing this after work then, right?
Right.
Perfect timing. So, Gina, why don't you give us a little bit of background into who you are and what you do and what is a gynecologist?
Well, like you said, I'm kind of the only one. Gynecology, first of all, is my philosophy around living life as a woman. It's my kind of like my encyclopedia that I've acquired in my own life's experience of how to live life liberated and honoring our bodies as women. And it sounds like obviously sounds like gynecology, but it's my name. You know, it's gynecology. And it's really, I like to take my own ideas around things. I like to redefine things a lot, and I like to create powerful perspectives around what we already perceive. And that's it. My, you know, my philosophy, gynecology. But how I got started with my whole body of work is just growing up as a woman and coming into the ideas around how we're defined by society, how we're defined by the medical community, how we're defined by other women in our world, and of course by men as well. So it was sort of like, I always say the most powerful experience I had that sort of made me jump into the fascination with being female was when I got my first menstrual cycle. It was just this magical, amazing experience for me, and it made me fascinated about being in a woman's body. And so that began the journey for me, and I started noticing that other women weren't having these positive, amazing experiences with their body or feeling the same way that I did. And I thought, you know, I must have a gift here, and I'm meant to share this so that other women can live feeling really connected to their bodies and living holistically and happily and in harmony with being female.
Mm-hmm. So you have a whole bunch of principles where you've got 10 around gynecology, and we're going to be talking about the first one on today's show. But what are your 10 principles?
Okay, my 10 principles. Number one is that you're your own best doctor, that no one knows your state of health and wellness better than you do. Your doctor is a team member, but not the boss of you. Those of you who have kids, I don't know if you guys use that expression down under, but we do here.
Yeah, I used to say that,
you know,
all the
time. So not the boss of you. And I speak irreverently for the most part, so I throw things like that in. Number two is know your body intimately, both from a health and sexuality perspective. Number three is have a solid resource base for all aspects of your life, body, mind, and spirit. Know where and how to find answers for you. And that's what I'm here for. Number four is be responsible for your own orgasms. If you don't know your own body, no one else can. Number five, you must always be first on your list of priorities. This is a crucial principle for women as we tend to put ourselves last, if at all, on our list.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, life is best when we have a large measure of pleasure on a regular, consistent basis. So find your pleasure centers and visit them often. Number seven is dance, 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 which I love to do. When we gyrate our female parts, it really opens our hearts. Number eight, you're beautiful, period. No comparisons, no qualifications. Beauty is not skin deep, it's soul deep and spirit fed. Number nine, your period is your best friend, greatest ally, and lifelong teacher. Its wisdom is profound. Embrace it every month. And number 10 is live your life as a woman, WOMAN, which is the title of my book. So it's read my book.
I just got shivers down my spine listening to you repeat those. So what is WOMAN? Your book is called Woman, A New Definition. What is
exactly
that?
Exactly. Yeah. And as I said, I like to redefine things through like my own eyes. My journey into womanhood has been like, who do I want to be as a woman? How do I want, who's Gina? Who is Gina? Not what the society wants me to be, not what anybody in the world or anything else is trying to define me, but who am I really? So Woman, A New Definition, the book is Woman is an acronym. So each letter stands for a particular thing. The W is wild. The O is open. The M is magical. The A is authentically empowered. And the N is nectar. And I journey through each one of those letters in the book. It's, you know, it's an easy read. It's about 100 pages. And it's really my philosophy around each one of those pieces of what, if we live connected as wild, open, magical, authentically empowered nectar, then the woman that we end up being in that is really an amazing experience, an expression of the feminine on earth.
Mm. So the show today is called You Are Your Own Best Doctor. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, for women in particular, this is very, very, very important. We have very complex, ever-changing hormonal systems from the time you first get periods to the time you stop getting periods. You know, whether our hormones are ever shifting. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is, they're constantly changing. So no one actually knows what your state of health and wellness is better than you do. Your doctor doesn't know. And most doctors, I don't know how it is there, but here in the States, doctors really are not, in my opinion, Western doctors are not really, they don't really care that much about you. They're busy, they're in a hurry, they're not getting paid enough, and they tend to be very dismissive towards women. I've worked with a lot of women because I also do coaching work and workshops and webinars and things like that. And there's a constant thing that women are always saying, which is that my doctor's really not listening to me, or they'll just give me a prescription without finding out if anything's wrong with me. Or every time I tell them something's bothering me, they'll say, oh, you're fine. And I say, that's not the right kind of doctor to have in your life. Because as that principle says, no one knows your state of health and wellness better than you do. Your doctor is a team player. He or she is somebody that is there to help you understand your health. But you should never, ever defer to them as some kind of a deity having authority over your health and wellness. Because so many women get in trouble when they think that the doctor knows best. And like I said here, you know, it's incredible, especially with gynecology and women going for anything at all. The second they get in there and they have any kind of complaint, if they're young women, they want to give them birth control pills. If they're older women, they want to give them hormone replacement. But there's always this theme of medicating women. And a big part of us really being our own doctor is having a presence and awareness of what's going on in our lives emotionally, because what goes on in our lives emotionally has the biggest impact on us physically.
Mm. The doctor should not be the bus driver. I like that mentality.
Yeah.
So if someone is taking control of their own health, then what does that look like? Are they just Googling things on the internet or just guessing and kind of bouncing around between ideas, or is it something separate?
Well, you know, that's actually a really good question, because that's probably what, you know, when I say that to someone, that's probably the first thing they do. But the first thing that you really need to do, and I guess it ties into that next gynecology principle, which is to have an intimate relationship with yourself, both physically and sexually. But physically, speaking on the physical part, you have to really be aware of what you're feeling. I noticed that a lot of women kind of move through the world. You know, we're busy, hectic lives, kids, jobs, you know, family. And a lot of that, there's a lot of discontent within that. You know, may not necessarily love your job. I'm a mother. Some days you hate your kids. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. you gotta be real. Your relationship may or may not be working. You know, there's all these things that we can be in denial about, and we keep trudging through like these woman warriors. So the first thing that you need to do is get real. If this is directly related to your health, getting real about what's going on for you emotionally, how you really feel. And not BSing yourself. Do we have language restrictions on this program? I did
None.
Radio for a long. Okay, great. Thank you. I was about to say, not bullshitting yourself. And so I did other radio for so long, and I had to be mindful of what I said. But the more you bullshit yourself about what's going on in your life, the more it's going to affect your health, because the way that your hormones actually work, the word hormone is a Greek word that actually means messenger. And the chemicals that are created in your body start with how you feel. There's even, you know, studies will show if a person actually smiles, even if they're not happy, it releases a different set of chemicals in the body, which are hormones, as opposed to if you're frowning. So how you are feeling is actually creating your hormone cocktail within your own body.
Mm.
So to become present with what you're feeling, and then to take the next level of why you're feeling it, you know, you have to be willing to be super honest with yourself and not pretend, not play nice. That's a thing in this culture, in a lot of cultures where women are raised, you know, well, just be nice, make nice, don't rock the boat, you know, don't get angry. I always say, you know, women have all of the emotions. We have permission to experience all the emotions except anger, and guys have permission to experience none of them except anger. And for women, anger is a huge piece because we tend to stuff it. And then that creates, again, you're talking about what you're creating hormonally, which creates your physiology. You know, particularly as women, what's going on in our hormones is affecting our bodies, whether we're getting PMS, how our cycles are. And particularly as women get closer to menopause, what you haven't dealt with in your whole life is going to catch up with you, and you're going to start to have massive physical issues. You know, that's a big part of it. You've got to first get in touch with what you really feel. And the way that I recommend that women do that is to, you know, a lot of people just go too fast. You can't feel what you feel, whether you're a man or a woman. You can't be in touch with your feelings if you don't stop or slow down or make time for that. So unplugging, you know, daily if you can, even for 15 minutes, and just writing down what you're feeling, you'd be amazed what comes out when you sit down and create time for it.
So what about the way that people think then? Can that affect their hormones? I mean,
yep, that's what I'm saying.
If you say that a hormone is a messenger, I'm just thinking right now about this movie that I watched yesterday called That Sugar Film, and I'm actually interviewing the producer tomorrow. And one of the things that he wanted to do when he was making the film, this was one of his ideas on what the film could be, was what would happen if I were to go and just lie in a hospital bed and eat nothing but hospital food for 60 days? What would happen to my health if I did that? Just sat there and did nothing. And presumably his system would be all over the show. So if our external environment is reflected in the way our hormone system runs, what about the way that thoughts can affect that as well? Because, I mean, everyone knows that lying in a bed eating crap food is not going to be good for you.
Yeah.
How can thought relate there as well?
I think that's really kind of what I was saying, because what we think is connected to what we feel. So, you know, it's the body-mind connection is really what I was speaking to in this. I was speaking about it in terms of what we feel, but our thoughts and emotions are inextricably connected, you know. So, you know, what you're thinking about, is it a negative? Is it a positive? Is it supportive of you feeling negative or positive? You know, what is that thought? If you think about your relationship and it's not working, it's going to create negative chemicals in your body. If you think about someone you love and you're really connected to loving them, it's going to generate positive chemicals in your body. Same thing with work or any other aspect of your life. So, you know, as above, so below. And so it's what you're thinking, you know, around you, it's going to create your health. And God, you know, people like Deepak Chopra, and there's been Wayne Dyer, so many people talk about this mind-body connection. But I think that in women's bodies, because of the hormone, the complexity of our hormones, we have even more of an opportunity to begin to practice mastery over this area, because we feel it immediately, you know, when we're out of alignment with our truth. It's really about that. And I even talk about the idea that premenstrually, what every woman tends to go through, it's truth serum time. The rose-colored glasses come off. And women get very reactive at that time because they can't BS themselves anymore. They realize what's bothering them, and then they try to just, you know, sweep it under the rug until next month. And that's why, like, a lot of times in relationships, your man will say to you, oh, you must be about to get your period because you're bringing that issue up again. Well, it's a very valid thing that needs to be addressed and healed, you know. So it's very much connected to the mind body, David. It really truly is.
So principle three of gene ecology is have a solid resource base for all aspects of your life, body, mind, and spirit. Know where and how to find the answers for you. Now, it sounds like you're talking about this whole process of learning how to become your own best doctor as very internal. But with this, you're saying have a solid resource base. Are you talking about
exactly
what's going on there?
Well, those are the tools. Those are your go-to tools. And okay, I'll use myself as an example. Let's just say I am going through some kind of a stressful period, and my body just is screaming that I need massage. So part of my resources is, who are my best massage therapists? It's like knowing, okay, first of all, it's knowing what you need. You have to be tapped in and tuned in enough to know what you actually need. And I call it like my bag of tricks. Where do I go? When I go to my bag of tricks, it's like, well, what do I need to make myself right and balanced again? It's about achieving balance in, you know, within ourselves, because when we get out of balance, that's when we get unhappy, unhealthy, you know, all those things start to happen. So, you know, if I need a massage, or, you know, maybe I need to do some kind of healing work, or maybe I need to go for a walk at the beach over here, you know, and just 5 minutes from my house, go down for a walk at the beach, or maybe I need to take a vacation, or maybe I need to unplug from what I'm doing and just go off the grid and not answer emails or phones for 24 or 48 hours. It's like, what are those things? And I always say the resources that you accumulate, and those are practitioners, Those are tools. They can be vitamins, minerals, supplements, bath products. They can be anything that you need that's part of what's going to make you feel healthy and whole. And I always say, as you do your research to find those things, make sure you're asking advice from people who are aligned with your philosophy. For instance, I am not a Western medicine person. I don't believe in them. I believe that Western medicine is killing people. Between vaccinations and pharmaceuticals and a lack of nutrition, I just think it's destroying the health and wellness of people on the planet. So if I went to a Western doctor for advice on what I would need to get balanced, it would be completely out of alignment with my own core values. So you have to understand who you're asking advice from and make sure that they are on the same page with you. That way, and then I always say, even with me, people come to me a lot and they ask me because they respect what I do and how long I've done it and the way that I live my life, really walking my talk. And they'll say, well, what do you do? Or what do you use? Or what do you suggest? I always have an answer for that. And then I will always say, but despite my wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on this, make sure that it's right for you. Do your own due diligence, because people tend to, these days, we move too fast. We think whatever we found on the internet was right. We, you know, we just do what we find, the first thing we find, and we don't slow down enough to even investigate, is this right for me? So when you have when you've amassed this bag of tricks and tools that will help you to find balance in your life, like, you know, working mothers or mothers with children, for instance, simple things like you want to be able to go to the gym, or you want to have a date night, or you want to have a night out with your girls, you need a solid babysitter or two or three, because what if one of them's not available, so that you can always have what you need taken care of? You know, you have to, and it comes down to, you know, making a list of what are the things that you need right now in your life that you don't have? What are some of the stressors in your life that you need to alleviate? And you make that list, and then you start thinking, well, you know, what do I need to alleviate that? And the example I just gave, you know, about having a babysitter just so you could go to the gym, or so you can take that walk, or, you know, just go sit somewhere by yourself, or go have a cup of coffee or tea with a girlfriend. You know, you need to know who you can call that's available to you, you know? So what are the things that you can delegate? That's really important, because we can turn into complete control freaks and think we have to do everything ourselves. But what can you actually delegate? And some of it, yes, you may have to pay someone, and that's a consideration. Some of it you may not have to pay someone to do, but get clear at least on what you need. And even if you can't afford it right now, at least now you know, I need this, I want this, and you work towards having it.
So where's the line then between externalizing the process of taking care of ourselves by looking out and saying, this is a program that I want to follow, or this is a diet that I want to follow, versus, you know, having a masseuse or a babysitter or whatever the example might be for you? Like, how can people look elsewhere for expert advice, but also still keep it genuine to themselves?
Well, that's where what I was saying a few minutes ago about just kind of vetting it and looking, doing your own research. When you get a referral for something, you know, don't just, like on the internet, you know, the, like on Google, the first 10 things come up. And I think I heard a statistic, people barely ever go to the next page. They
Yeah,
I mean, I don't either. You take what's on that first page. And so, you know, if you do that, you're kind of still in the process of taking someone else, because that's all marketing and sales too. So people are trying to get you on their page to get whatever it is they're selling you. So you have to first think, not like a sheep, you know, you got to realize that's the intention behind those people on those, on that, that first 10 pages. They paid a lot to be on the first page. They paid a lot to be on the first page.
It's funny. People don't realize that. I mean, a lot of people really are thinking, if someone's looking up women's health issues, people are planning their website around getting it to show up when you click women's health, or when you Google women's health issues, which is just the way that Google works. And that's fine if you're trying to figure out, oh, I want to watch this TV show, where can I watch it? That's cool, but not so much for health.
Right. People it's so don't much understand more important. That. Right. You know, and I know, I think there's some aspect of it where it depends on if a particular thing is searched the most, like, you know, if you start typing in OPH, Oprah's name is going to pop up right away and it's the first page. But, you know, it's really about us being willing to care enough about ourselves to do our own research to make sure something's a good fit for us, because we actually end up wasting a ton of money when you just, like, are in a hurry to pick something. Because I know for myself in the past, when I used to be that way, I would end up, you know, regretting. I was like, God, I wish I had looked into this, or I wish I had looked into that, or I wish I had thought about this before I either bought it or joined it or did it, you know, kind of thing. So it's, and that's where kind of, and for women, I think it's wonderful when we can get together and we can share with one another, because we are really amazing resources for one another. So when you get together with your friends and you start saying, you know, I'm really struggling with this, that, or the other, this community of women that's willing to support you, because we're all going through the same things, you know, in our circle of friends, you'd be amazed the resource base that we have that's available to each other if we just reach out and ask.
Mm. So let's go to principle 5 of your genecology principles. You must always be first on your list of priorities. Now, this is something that, I mean, I've been making a serious conscious effort myself to really adhere to this lately. I went and bought a hammock on Thursday, and I've spent 10 minutes in my hammock every single day, and I do Tai Chi, and I never skip a day. I always get that stuff done before I even think about anything else. And then when I go and do my work stuff, I know there's stuff that I got to do that's just going to make everything else easier or unnecessary. So I get all that stuff done, and then I go and do whatever else needs to be done. But it can be difficult. Like yesterday, I mean, I only really started paying attention to this on Thursday, but yesterday I had to, you know, go across to the other side of the city to do a first emergency first aid course because mine's about to run out. And then I had to go and do some other stuff, and I got home and I thought, oh, it's 5 o'clock. I had to go and get my hair cut. That was the other thing. I got home and I thought, it's 5 o'clock and I have not done anything on my, you know, me list. How can someone start sticking to that?
Well, there's only really one way, and I've lived this myself. If you don't do it first, if you try to put you at the end of the day, you'll likely not get it done. Here's another thing that I learned to do. I have Fridays are Gina Day. That's my day where everything is about me. I unplug from work. I unplug from, you know, my daughter is 20 now, but you know, if you have small children and you have a partner, you have a husband or a partner, whatever, get them, let them know, this is what I need. This is my me day. If you want a me day too, you just pick your me day and I'll accommodate you as well. Cause you don't, you know, you want to be fair in that. But I have a day, and that will be the day where I just take care of all the things that feed my soul. Because when we think that we have to always be doing work or it has to be something productive, I mean, we really need to have fun and surrender. And so, you know, you've got to literally, if you have a to-do list, you actually have to schedule yourself into that to-do list, or it will never happen, and you can't put yourself at the end of the day.
Mm, agreed. Another, I mean, I'm on board with you. I absolutely refuse to work on Fridays. There's something about Friday.
I agree. It's Friday. I mean, just something about Friday.
I do not like working on Fridays at all. And the other thing as well that I do, which could probably drive people mental, but, you know, it just makes me feel a lot better. I don't talk to anyone when I'm eating breakfast, ever.
That's very healthy, actually. You know, and I
refuse to do it.
Yep. Very
people
healthy.
People can say to me, do you want to, you know, do you want to go out for breakfast? Absolutely, but just be aware, for the first 20 minutes, I'm not going to talk to you. After that, we're good. But that's just one of my things. What other kinds of things like that? I mean, that's really liberating for me. What other kinds of things like that could you say that people might be able to do that would help them?
I think it's really an individual thing, though, David. You know, it's like, because everybody, and that's the thing. That's why I don't like these cookie cutter 10 steps to this or that or the other. You know, and it's like, if you do this, then this will happen. Everybody has their own unique experience in everything. And so you kind of have to be willing to care enough about yourself to find out what the answer is. Like, I love that you do that, because in Ayurveda, it's a very powerful thing. You're never supposed to talk while you're eating, because it interferes with the digestive process. Your thoughts, because you're actually thinking and talking while you're eating. Digestion is it takes the number one most amount of energy for your body to digest food. So when you eat focused and quiet, your body actually digests better, and you actually conserve your own energy by eating that way. So that's a really smart thing to do. But you have to figure out what that is for you, what those things are that can liberate you in that way or make you feel like you're really taking care of yourself. And the thing is, if you don't know, you've got to know yourself really intimately. You've got to understand. If you say, God, you know, I don't know what those things are. I'm listening to this right now and I'm thinking, I have no idea what those things are. Well, you know what? Just start with, what am I the most stressed out about right now? What do I feel like I need the most? You know, maybe you need a haircut. You know, maybe you need a hot meal if you've got small children and you've been eating cold food because of the demands. It can be a really simple thing. Just think about what feels nurturing to you and what feels like self-love to you, and just start with one thing.
Mm. Now, genecology principle number 7, dance, dance, dance. Do you mean actual dancing there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was very interested when I saw this point pop up on my computer, because I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was a couple of months ago, I can't remember, and there was a shaman there who was teaching, and the first question that a shaman asks anyone when they come to see them is,
do you dance?
When did you stop dancing?
Ah, yes, yes.
And usually that's when the problems happen. So when you say dancing, do you mean literally dancing, or is that a metaphorical thing as
well? No, it's not a metaphor, and they don't mean it that way either, because dance liberates the soul. I mean, I've danced since I was a little girl. I'm currently, for the last year and a half, almost 2 years, been very passionate about Argentine tango. But dancing, I mean, I've done belly dancing. I've done, you know, jazz tap ballet as a kid, and then I got into African dance. I was a samba dancer and performer at one point. Salsa, and now tango. And there's something, and also I noticed this in, for instance, because I've done a lot of Latin dance, it's also part of my own ancestry, that men who come from cultures who dance are much more emotionally available and connected, and they're more able to be with their masculine and their feminine. Mm. Dancing is something that really opens up the energy centers in the body. And when we dance in an unself-conscious way, because a lot of times people will say, oh, I don't know how to dance. Everyone knows how to dance. You just put the music on and surrender to it and be yourself. But we're always worried about what we look like to other people rather than what we feel like to ourselves when we're dancing. So, you know, and I always tell women, like, take off your clothes and dance naked. That's the best thing you can do. You know, light a few candles in your house. Turn on some music. And I can use dance very therapeutically as well. If I'm feeling sad or angry, pick some music that will allow you to release that energy from your body. It's very, very liberating. And for women in particular, any type of dance that you can do that really moves your hips, you know, that's why belly dancing throughout the ages, but salsa, samba, all those types of things, it really activates the Shakti energy and the energy we have within our uterus and our female organs. It really is very healing. And it awakens this and stimulates our sexual energy, because with all the stress in life, that can be very dormant. Our sexuality and our sex hormones are really important for longevity and health and wellness and youthfulness. So when you dance, it opens all of those centers up in the body and the heart. It really, the heart and the hips are very connected. So when you dance in a way that allows you to liberate your hips, you actually also connect with and open your heart.
Mm. I love that. I absolutely love that. I actually told someone to start that they needed. Actually, I've told two of my private practice clients in the last month or so that they need to start dancing.
Yeah, it's for women in particular, but men, it's liberating for men. And being around tons of Latin guys from all over the world, I'm constantly surrounded by foreigners here in LA because that's kind of my vibe anyway, and I gravitate towards foreigners. And the tango community is also very it's a very foreign community. It's a lot of people from all over the world. But Latin men and people from those cultures in particular that dance all the time, it's just a very different vibe. You can feel it in everyone.
Mm, mm. And they're different people to be around as well.
Very much so. Very much so.
So what about pleasure? You say life is best when we have a large measure of pleasure on a regular, consistent basis. So find your pleasure centers and visit them often. Now, what's a pleasure center?
Pleasure center is anything that, to me, that involves the sensuality of life. And sensuality is your senses, your five senses. So what makes you, what sound, it could be listening to music that you love. That's stimulating pleasure in your ears. You know, it could be walking through a garden of flowers, you know, and that's stimulating sensuality in their sense of smell. Eating, most people love food, you know, but eating food in a communal environment with friends or cooking, like I love cooking. It's really just such a creative thing to do.
Mm.
So what gives you pleasure? What gives you pleasure? Clearly, you know, for people that are sexually awake and alive and active, your sexual expression. But a lot of people are very dormant and dead there, and they don't even think of that as a pleasure center. But what is a pleasure center for you? And how are you suppressing those things that you actually love? And why are you suppressing them? Do you have shame about it? Are you afraid to do it by yourself and don't have anybody to do it with you? Do it anyway. You know, whatever makes you happy and makes you feel good, activate the sensuality of your life by activating your senses and bringing pleasure. It opens the heart. It makes you more relaxed and carefree. And again, this body-mind thing, when all of that's flowing better, your health is better. You know, your entire body feels better, looks better. It has an impact on your weight, all of this. pleasure is extremely important, and it's not something that culturally is really, you know, promoted.
That's probably exactly why I went and bought my hammock, actually. I mean,
I love
sit
that.
Out, yeah, I sit outside all day, and I love being out there because I don't have to go and do, you know, see my one-on-one clients anymore. I choose to, and I spend the rest of my week just sitting outside working on other stuff. And I thought, you know what, I'm spending so much time, even though I love it, sitting at this desk, I need to have something else that is just a distraction. And I just love being in my hammock, looking at clouds, and just getting rocked. I try and do it 10 minutes every hour, and it's my favorite thing now.
That's so awesome. And it's a way to rejuvenate yourself and, like, you know, you're outside. And I mean, I love that. I totally love that. I wish I had a hammock now.
You've got to go and get one. It's the best thing. Although I got stung by a bee on my face when I was in it the other day, and that was no good, but it's the best thing. So last question for you then, Gina. You say the new definition of woman is wild, open, magical, authentically empowered, and nectar.
Right.
What do you mean by nectar?
You know what? I love that you asked that because that's actually my favorite letter in the whole thing, and of the whole acronym, because nectar is kind of that sweet, lovely, beautiful, sensuous, dancing, flowing, laughing aspect of woman. I see color, I see sensuality, I see, you know, the beautiful seduction and mystery of woman in nectar. And it's kind of like when we are living wild, open, magical, and authentically empowered, the nectar just flows from us. And when we're living that way, we are incredibly magnetic, you know, for anything we want in our lives, opportunities, money, relationship, because that to me is a piece of woman that's been missing for a long time. Because feminism kind of, you know, feminist, that's it. I always say it wrong. I'm a feminist because I'm really about the feminine and feminism. I think it created a lot of sameness between the genders because a lot of women really felt that they had to behave and act like men in order to, you know, achieve economic parity. And in the process of doing that, we took away a lot of what defines our feminine energy and essence, which actually creates a lot of magnetism in our lives. It doesn't make us weak or doormat. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. But when we decided that we had to stop allowing what is really feminine within us to go in order to be taken seriously and paid enough, we've created a lot of sameness within the genders. And so the nectar piece for me is very much about that feminine energy and essence and bringing that back and how powerful it is when a woman lives and walks in that and the effect it has on everyone around you, you know, other women, men, children. It really is an amazing thing. I experience this in my life all the time, and it's a really incredible feeling. It really is. Yeah.
So this new definition of woman that you've given, is that an end point or a finish line or a goal for people to pursue, or is it a process?
No, it's definitely a process, because you'll dance in your life as a woman. You'll dance through all those letters. You'll be in different phases of your life where you'll be more attached to a particular element of that acronym. And so it's always a process and a journey. And you may find yourself yearning. You may be in your wildness and at some point realize you're yearning to be in your openness and more surrender. And, you know, you just navigate. I think that the M, which is magical, has a lot to do with our biological processes, you know, menstruation, giving birth, and menopause, although I actually hadn't written about menopause because I hadn't gone through it. But that's about honoring what we go through our biology. Our bodies are these profound wisdom teachers. And I always say, if you can't love your body, not for its appearance, but as a power source, then you can't love your life. So women have to really learn to love their bodies as a power source and as a teacher. And then you can really learn to love your life.
What a powerful message to share. I love that. So have you got any closing comments that you would like to leave the listeners with there, Gina?
You know, just go to my website, genecology.com. There's a lot there. You know, you can hang out there for a while. I've got on my products page, there's some paid stuff, but there's also some free downloads you can get, which are great. And I keep adding to them all the time. I have a couple of webinars coming up in June. I think one's June 13th and one is June 20th. One is on how your menstrual cycle is your GPS and guide and teacher. And then the other one is I give women 11, just some basic tools to help to learn to love the body that you live in. Mm-hmm. And there's stuff that is almost, you know, for the most part, doesn't cost you anything. So those, you can find those under webinars if people are interested. And just, you know, I have an amazing blog. I write a lot. I love writing, and people are really responsive.
Yes, you do have a good blog.
Yeah, and so there's just a lot there, you know, if people go to genecology.com.
Everyone should go and have a look at this blog, I think. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. There's things on here like, why do you weigh yourself? Where's your wild woman, and when was the last time that you let her out? What else have we got going on here?
I've got one, the wisdom and vulnerability of the vagina. I've got enjoy the key to weight loss. I mean, yep. there's probably over 60 posts there. And I also, I don't know if you know this, David, but I've started collaborating with our mutual friend, Troy Casey. We're going to be doing a series on sacred sexuality, actually. So we're going to be doing some workshops and teachings on that. So that's a new thing.
I'm sure Troy's got something completely left field and amazing to bring to that.
Yes, he does.
You'll have to let me know when that comes out, and I'll keep everyone in the loop.
Definitely. It'll be a fun collaboration.
Perfect. Love it. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show, Gina. That was a real pleasure. Once again, for everyone listening, go and have a look at Gina's website. It's genecology.com. And Gina, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we got past the technical glitches.
Yes, we had we had some serious problems at the start of the show, but we've worked it out.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gina. Have a good day.
Thanks.